You are listening to Comics Reviews with Rob and Dave.
I guess I could start off with Hero Killers number one, which was released by Dynamite Comics. Ryan Brown was the writer and Pete Woods on art. And I don't know if you're familiar with Ryan Brown at all, Dave.
Is he related to Bobby?
I hope so. But I think it's different spelling. Does Bobby Brown spell his name with an E? Ryan Brown, he's a Chicago writer artist. He worked on God Hates Astronauts and Blast Furnace. Those were two like web comics that he had, and I funded both on Kickstarter to see them in print. And
so you get stock in the comics.
CEO, shareholder. But he ended up taking God Hates Astronauts to Image Comics and put out a 10-issue run of all new stories. And from there, you know, he did some fill-in stuff on Manhattan Projects art-wise, and he would do some random Marvel stories. Excuse me. But right now, I know he's working on Curse Words with Charles Soule. It's their creator-owned book at Image Comics. Charles Soule's writing it, and Ryan Brown's drawing it. But it seems like he's not busy enough drawing a book a month, and decided to also write a book. And the one thing about Ryan Brown is all of his comics are batshit crazy, and in the best way possible.
I actually did read this one.
Oh, Hero Killers? You read it?
Yeah, because you recommended it to me.
Awesome, awesome. Did you enjoy it?
It was interesting. It was kind of out there. It was like, get me that hooker I usually get on Wednesday or Tuesday.
Even though it's Wednesday.
Yeah. I'm glad he killed the guy because he was a douche.
Oh my god, he was a terrible douche. But yeah, so Pete Woods, his artwork isn't really similar to Ryan Brown's at all, but I feel like tonally it works for the stories that Ryan Brown tells. So you see how crazy this book is. That's just a glimpse into some of the other Ryan Brown books. And they're all hysterical. Like this book had me cracking up. So essentially it's from the pages of Project Superpowers, which I did not read, so I went into this blind. And it's the story that takes place in Libertyville, USA, where superheroes outnumber criminals 4-1 because there's so many, and they're all seeing whatchamacallit. They were all the superheroes were kind of making a lot of money from rewards saving the day, so everyone started getting into the superhero business, sort of. And now there are so many superheroes that anytime there's a crime, every single one of them kind of converges in on this one crime. And the opening scene had me cracking up because it starts off with these robots in these suits. It looks like a they're a bunch of barrels, so you think it might be some like prohibition type thing going on. And the little Tommy guns that the robots are holding, it looks very Boardwalk Empire in it. And the ongoing gag is like the superheroes are like, you know, what's going on here? And it's like punch first, ask later kind of thing. And they're like, oh, it looks like they might be bootlegging here. And someone's like, Prohibition ended 70 years ago, and then you find out that it's actually taking place in the current timeline, but you don't know that as the story starts, and it's really funny. But
yeah, because they all look old-timey.
They do, and it's so funny because like they did such a good job of painting a picture like it was something from the past, and even the superheroes, like, I mean, you could write them into stories now or, you know, later, whatever, it doesn't really matter. But we kind of focus on this one superhero, Black Terror, who is he's a despicable human being.
He is a terror.
He is a terror. And he has a little sidekick, Tim, I think his name is. And so Tim and a couple of his buddies, they're like the little proteges for some of the other larger superheroes. And Black Terror is just a nightmare. And he doesn't want Tim coming out on stakeouts, even though Tim and his friends are kind of the ones that like saved the whole fiasco from the opening scene. And he gets pissed off, and or he gets super drunk and asks Tim, like you had mentioned, to order the prostitute, the Tuesday prostitute, even though he knows it's Wednesday. And then that's an ongoing gag for like for a bit in the book.
Yeah, it's just like, tell the cops I did this, and then get me that pizza and prostitute like I ordered.
And then, so, turns out the little proteges are all pissed off, and what's this villain's name? I forget. This villain surfaces, and from, like, this submarine, and,
Oh, I forgot.
Oh, I forget his name. But he plans on, you know, doing some dastardly deeds or whatever. Black Terror shows up and he wants to take the credit for stopping the villain. Tim gets pissed. I want to say his name is Tim. If it's not Tim, I'm calling him the wrong name, but I'm pretty sure it's Tim. Gets pissed and he ends up killing Black Terror. All his friends are like, what is happening? Why'd you do that? So then they end up shooting. It's Doc something. So Dr. Baron, that's his name. So they end up killing Dr. Baron, and they say, okay, it looks like Dr. Baron killed Black Terror, and then we had to kill Dr. Baron, it's all self-defense kind of thing, not knowing that the robot there is, you know, possibly recording.
Yeah, man. He is a robot.
Yes. So it's a nice little cliffhanger to an ongoing story. It's just so completely goofy. It's not like groundbreaking in its storytelling or anything, but I just thought it was so funny, and it was a nice break for some of the. I mean, I kind of knew what I was getting into when it was a Ryan Brown book, knowing that he's writing it. But I, you know, reading some Marvel or DC stuff that can be super heavy. Although I'm going to talk about a book in a little bit that was kind of goofy as well. But it was a good read. It was a good read, and Pete Wood's art is pretty cool. I like it a lot. I wasn't sure what to expect in this specifically, because I have seen his artwork before. I can't think of where exactly. I don't remember if it was on. No, it wasn't. I don't know. I think it was another Dynamite or Boom Book or whatever, but I'm positive I've seen it before. But, I wasn't sure what to expect with this, if he was going to do a more Ryan Brown kind of style, which he kind of did with the sound effects. Like, Ryan Brown does, in his artwork, he'll, you know, if someone gets punched in the face, you know, the sound effect might be like, punch sound or something, you know, it's like really goofy stuff like that, but,
Swip.
But, no, I enjoyed it, but, are you going to continue reading it?
I don't know. Maybe if it's like goes on sale and stuff. And
yeah, yeah. I'm glad you checked it out though. This it was good for a laugh at least. So
yeah, we'll put that in the maybe pile.
The maybe pile.
Yeah, because who knows? So maybe I'll get bored and I'll just be like, whatever. Let me read again.
Well, and that being said too, like I am a Ryan Brown fan as far as his writing goes as well, but I could understand how the sense of humor might run its course over some time. I'm not going to lie, with God Hates Astronauts, I pre-ordered all 10 issues, you know, from the ongoing series, but I read maybe the first 4 or 5 when they came out, and then I took a break for probably the next 5 months, and I was still getting them, but then I read the rest all at once, and I just killed the series like that.
In your defense, though, there are about 70,000 comic books that come out a week.
There really are. It's an oversaturation of the market, and another problem, I think it's a good problem to have, but another problem is that there's so many good comic books that come out every week, too.
Yeah, so we need more crap.
I know, make it easier for me to cut stuff, right?
Yes. That's what I say.
Indeed. Want to move on to Batman 22?
Yeah, sure. Well, Batman 22, I guess it carries on the third part of this button crossover with the Flash that's going on that tires and Michelin tires into this whole DC rebirth deal that's going on. So so basically where we left off last time, they're in the cave and Bruce finally gets to see Thomas Wayne. What did you think?
I thought this was such a great book. And
yeah, it was good.
After reading it, I love the way that Flash and Batman interact. I'm not going to lie, I was a little skeptical on Batman, or I should say Bruce and Thomas meeting.
Yeah.
Because I was thinking this could go so many different ways. I also don't want to see mopey Batman for the next 12 issues, like after Tim Drake or Damian die and all this stuff. And like, because this is a huge part of his life. He is who he is now because of the incident that happened when he was 8 or 10 years old, you know, to his parents. And finally having that moment to be able to meet his father again, recognizing that there was an alternate history. And they both had the same motivations, essentially. They just carried it out in slightly different ways. But I thought, man, that scene when there was the infiltration on the Batcave. So Cosmic Treadmill breaks, or what is it called? The Cosmic Treadmill? I forget. But
yes, that's it.
Yeah. So it breaks down and they're in Thomas Wayne's Batcave.
He fixes that treadmill really fast, too.
Seriously.
I thought there would be more fallout from that.
Yeah,
just hand me that hammer, and then he's on his way.
Hammer, some glue, a paper clip, and Cosmic Treadmill is...
Hand me that airplane glue.
But yeah, so they did fix it rather quickly, you're right, but... So there's an infiltration. It sounded like Aquaman and Wonder Woman's. They teamed up and their armies were essentially, you know.
Yeah, apparently it's still going on in that time. Well, yes, of course, the Flashpoint, but
yeah.
Apparently that's still going on. But they teamed up because they hate Batman more than anything.
Yeah, which is insane to me because we don't have those stories, so I just kind of assume that it's not happening anymore. Like, that timeline just kind of went away after Flashpoint. Mm. That's not the case at all. You're right. It's still going on. And we're thrown into the middle of... It's even, hotter and heavier out there now with the war that everyone was waging. And yeah, they teamed up. They put their differences aside, Wonder Woman and Aquaman, just because they hate Batman so much. And they... so the Cosmic Treadmill's fixed. Barry and Bruce hop on to try to go back to, the rebirth timeline, regular DCU rebirth timeline, whatever the hell it's called now. But Bruce kept trying to talk Thomas into coming. And, man, that scene was tugging at the heartstrings. That was beautiful because Thomas, he didn't want to go. And he's like, sort of like, give me this death, like, everything I did was for you, and knowing that you're okay. Bruce, it was just a incredibly powerful scene, I thought. It makes me want Joshua Williamson to be writing Batman all the time.
Yeah, this was the Joshua Williams one.
Yeah.
I don't know. I guess they had to leave him there, but I was like, why don't you just go? It fits three on the Cosmic Treadmill.
Seriously. And I wonder how many people would have been so pissed off had Thomas Wayne come to our timeline now.
Well, yeah, that's the thing. It's like they had to keep him there. And, yeah, because... I guess they had to keep him there, but...
You know what, though? Because think of it this way, too. It took 5 or 6 years for DC to... I mean, granted, New 52 was its own initiative, and reboot and whatever the hell you want to call it. But it took 5 years for them to go back and acknowledge the rebirth timeline. 5 years our time. Would we be stuck with Thomas Wayne in this timeline for 5 more years? You know, 5 years of stories with him.
I don't know. Did he die in that sequence, or we don't know?
That's what it seemed like. I think we're to assume he died. But who knows? It's comics.
What would be interesting is if they just added another monthly title of just like Flashpoint Batman.
That would be cool. Yeah, because I mean, DC isn't really doing any Elseworlds tales or anything like that. They have Earth 2, I think. I don't know if they're still doing that. They were for a while. I was reading it for a little while and it was fun.
What was that thing that they were talking about that what they were, it wasn't this, it wasn't an altered future or something? It was, what did they say at one point? They were talking about that it's like not an altered Earth or something. Remember that?
It's just a separate timeline, I think, is what it is.
Yeah, because it's like they were talking, Barry and B. Wayne were talking to each other. And they're like seeing stuff as they're passing on the treadmill or something. Maybe it's in the one issue before or something.
It might have been. I'm trying to look through this one to see if there's... Oh, okay, here it is. Flash says, I know it's hard to accept, but whatever's going on, whatever's happened, this is your son, and Bruce, this is your father. The vibrational frequencies here are right. This isn't an alternate world or timeline. This is ours. We're home. But how is this possible? The Flashpoint was never an alternate world. It's an alternate history that shouldn't exist anymore. So what I think is happening is if this does all go back to Dr. Manhattan, which I feel like we're not going to see him next issue. If we're only dedicating 4 issues to something so major and large, I feel like, you know what it is? There's probably going to be some major event in a year or so.
Yeah.
And this is sort of the prologue to it, yeah. I'm sure. But so if Dr. Manhattan is behind it, blah, 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 he's the most powerful being, period, in the DC universe, you know, whatever universe that might be. He can just, I'm thinking of it this way, much the same way that New 52 timeline and pre-Flashpoint timeline are sort of just one timeline now, like everything happened. It kind of got smushed together.
Yes.
I think that's what happened, too. Maybe Flashpoint is part of that now. Maybe it's not taking place necessarily on that Earth. It's parallel, but it's still, it still doesn't negate the fact that it did happen. I don't know. I wonder if there could be some sort of like weird incursion between the... It's the same Earth. I don't know. I wonder how they're going to explain this.
Well, they did kind of do that thing with the Superman Action Comics crossover where they merged the pre-existing, the pre-New 52 or pre-Flashpoint.
Yeah, yeah.
The Superman pre-Flashpoint and then...
New 52 Superman.
It's all Barry's fault.
Oh, he's...
Well, I guess it's not because it's...
Watchmen slash Barry slash Reverse Flash.
Yeah, that was weird, too. Like, the Eobard was, like, running to the future or something.
Yeah.
And then they're trying to stop him from that. They're like, you're gonna get killed.
Yeah, how's it end? If you keep running, you'll die, Barry says to Eobard. You have no idea the things I've seen, Alan, the places I've been. I know who the power of the button belongs to. And they've never faced someone like me. And he's holding the button in his hand. So, I don't know, maybe we will... I don't think we're going to see Dr. Manhattan next issue.
Yeah.
Unless turns into like a triple-sized issue or something.
Yeah, I think they're going to drag it out as long as possible.
They will, and I don't think they're going to put it in the Flash.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be its own book.
But it's an interesting thing. I think we overlooked this part, but they get on the treadmill. Thomas Wayne doesn't go along with them. Mm-hmm. And it's like, oh, we can save you. And then he's like, you have. So apparently he was just going to blow himself up and everybody there. Because he has this thing in his hand.
Yeah, a little detonator. And he throws it and you see it kind of interspersed with his memories, it looks like.
He was going to just off himself and take some Aquaman men and
Wonder Women
with him.
That was a great scene. This artwork is gorgeous, this issue, too. I think Jason Fabok is...
He did the art for this?
He did the art for this one. And
it's very nice.
It is very nice. He did, I think he did most of Dark Side War as well. He did stuff on, I think he worked on Detective for a while. He does a lot of Batman. He has that distinct DC house style that every artist they have tries to draw like. Mm-hmm. But I think his is, I don't even know how to describe it. Yes, it's part of the DC house style where it has that same feeling. Yes. But I could also tell a book of his, you know, from, say, like a David Finch or something like that. So it's distinct enough, I think. But no, overall, I'm enjoying this crossover. This is a crossover that I like to see, not Night of the Monster Men, which could have been so cool, but it wasn't.
Yeah,
I harp on that too much. I rag on that book too much. But...
Nah, it was stupid.
No, overall, I enjoyed it. I'm very eager to see where the next issue leads.
Yeah, so I don't know, and I guess he tells him not to be Batman anymore. That was another part.
Yes, that's right. Told him to stop being Batman. But I wonder if we're going to be dealing with this for a while now, where Batman still feels compelled to be this person. That's all he knows, is this. This is the life he knows. This is the life he's chosen and built for himself. To save his city, so no one else has to go through the things that he's been through. But, I mean, he heard it firsthand from his father to stop. So I wonder what's gonna affect him in any way.
Yeah, we shall see. I don't know. He can't stop because then DC won't have anything to sell anymore.
It's true. Or we can have a new Batman for the billionth time.
Yeah.
You know what? I'm not going to say this is going to happen because I don't think it's a far stretch, especially after all the shit they pulled with Grayson the past couple of years, but I would like to see him as Batman again. I thought he was a good Batman.
Who?
Dick Grayson.
Yeah, I guess.
I liked his teaming up with Damian. I thought their personalities work well together for that buddy cop, like, sort of comedic thing.
We'll see.
I'm not saying that's going to happen. I don't think Batman's leaving the suit. Bruce is leaving the suit anytime soon. Happened to, too recently. So, well, twice. It was also with Gordon.
Yeah, I remember that. The other year.
I nearly forgot it, to be honest with you. But
yeah, he was wearing, like, the super sexy Flanders suit. Nothing at all.
He was a robo-bunny.
Yeah, and that's the best part of it. They make a suit, but it doesn't even look like a bat, a robot. It looks like a bunny.
I know.
Whose idea was that?
Who that?
Greg Capullo?
I don't know if he did the design for it or not. It probably was him that did the design, but I don't even know. It was forgettable, I guess. It was fine. It was a fine story, serviceable, but it was forgettable because I nearly forgot it happened. So.
And Bruce Wayne was like a janitor.
That's a book I'd read. Didn't even make it an Elseworlds tale. Just have him do like Matches Malone shit as a janitor. I can move on to Jean Grey. Number one by Dennis Hopeless, the writer and artist Victor Ibanez, who did some awesome work on the Storm solo series a couple years ago. Pretty awesome first issue. I enjoyed it. People on Goodreads are giving it a lot of shit, but it's a first issue. It does exactly what it's supposed to do. The first few pages are exposition-y and try to catch you up. You find out that Jean, and she kind of just goes over her history as a character, and in the X-Men, and how she turned into Phoenix and destroyed a planet and died, but really that wasn't her, that was the future self. Then she was time displaced because they were pulled from the past into this current timeline. You know, normal, convoluted X-Men stuff. So,
just like the Fox movies. No continuity.
So, there's Jean Grey's in Kyoto with Pickles the Bamf, that they travel together, and she just wanted to get some ramen in Kyoto, and that's all she wanted. And then finds out the Wrecking Crew is there. She's like, oh crap, I gotta beat them up now. So as this whole thing is happening, she keeps hearing voices intermittently throughout this whole fight, and she's like, what? Who's talking to me? And then he's like, oh, you know, World's Strongest Telepath, or, you know, whatever it is. Like, you know, maybe you're picking up someone local, but it turns out that's not it. Goes through with the fight. She's, for the most part, beating them up. Gets distracted by the voices again. Gets her ass kicked. During that time, she paged the X-Men. They come, the other four of the original five come and meet up with her. Turns out that the voice that she kept hearing is, as of right now, what we're led to believe is the Phoenix, and she believes the Phoenix is coming back. So, yeah, that's essentially the issue in a nutshell. It was really good. The artwork was really, really pretty to look at, and I like Dennis Hopeless a lot as a writer, and I'm kind of interested because it's like, oh, every time Jean's around, you know, you run the risk of the Phoenix and all this shit. But that's so woven into the fabric of her as a character that you can't really remove that at all. So I can't even be mad about it. Plus it's young Jean. You know, she doesn't know how to deal with it. She knows that she has dealt with it as an adult, but she herself in this iteration of her has never dealt with the Phoenix before. So, or maybe she has in was it Black Mirror or Trials Jean Grey? I forget, but I'm pretty sure she hasn't. So listeners, correct me if I'm wrong. But no, I enjoyed it. Great number one issue. Did exactly what it was supposed to do, I thought. So Champions number 8, Mark Waid and Huberto Ramos. And I really just put it on the script just to say, please buy this book because it's so awesome. And Nova, who's usually written as kind of the dummy of the team, turns out to be the voice of reason and the smartest one there is, and kind of helps the champions with their poor PR after the I forget that group that kind of screwed them over. But God, I wish I remember the name of that group. But they the Freelancers, excuse me. And, you know, like, I don't know if you remember me telling you, but they co-opted the Champions logo of the C, and everyone got kind of pissed off about,
you know, like Pepe.
Yeah, like Pepe, which I actually have something to say about that, about Pepe, regarding Free Comic Book Day. Very interesting stuff, Pepsi. Actually. But, yeah, so they kind of turned it around, and Nova was the voice of reason and the smart one, and used the situation to his advantage and use social media. And it was just an interesting way to show people, or a way of, not to show people, a way of telling a story on how to get through to people like how you can now in this world with social media and how very instantaneous it is. And the results were kind of immediate almost too. So, very interesting. I like that Mark Waid takes a lot of, he pulls a lot from not necessarily current events specifically, but it's sort of every character in every situation sort of mimics, might be an analog of pop culture or political climate, stuff like that going on in the real world. So I think it's, again, I mean, I say this every single time I bring this book up, but I think it's the smartest book at Marvel. It's the most fun. The artwork's amazing. And it's just a lot of fun. So I implore you to go read this, everyone.
I think they put the first issue on Marvel Unlimited.
Awesome. Did you read it yet?
No, not yet. I like it when they stack a bunch of them.
I was just going to say, maybe wait till they put a few on there and you can kind of just blow through, you know, a few at a time.
Because I think they got some Civil War II stuff now, so I read some of it. And,
okay.
But then it's just like, wow, I want to keep reading this, and then now I got to wait there, like a jerk.
I told you off air that I nearly subscribed to Marvel Unlimited the other day, and then I checked my bank account, and I was like, I'm going to hold off on this until I get paid next week. But I think I'm finally going to pull the trigger. So maybe not that $99 tier one, even though the thought of the variants and the figure, that figure looks badass too, that Captain Marvel figure. But yeah, but I think the Champions trade is going to be issues 1 through 5. So you might even want to wait until the first 5 issues are up before you start reading. That way you can get the first story arc in.
People were complaining about Civil War II. I thought it was good so far.
I only read a couple issues, and it was fine. I don't think it's not the event that I had an issue with itself. Well, kind of. It's the fact that there was an event. Again, it's event fatigue. It's every summer there's this major blockbuster event that Marvel puts out, and this summer it's no different with Secret Empire. So it wasn't even Civil Wars 2 that I was against necessarily. It's the idea of event over the story. I do know some of the fallout and everything like that. I will say the couple issues I read, and I did read some of the tie-ins with Ms. Marvel, or I'm sorry, not Ms. Marvel, Captain Marvel, and they were writing her out of character, and it didn't make sense to me the choices she was making. Like, they needed a fall guy for this story, and they needed to, like, you can't make Iron Man the villain again, because he's the one who kind of looked like the dick in the original event, you know, 10 years ago. So they needed someone else, make him kind of the face of, you know, the hero community, I guess. And I like that they chose Captain Marvel because it elevates the character a lot, puts her in the spotlight. But I also, it was a weird way of doing things. And I think a lot of people are still confused by that. But like I said, what I've read was fine. I was going to talk about The Damned. I'm not really going to talk about this. The Damned, Ill-Gotten number one. I just want to say it's Colin Bunn and Brian Hurt, they're teaming up again after Six Gun, because that recently ended. But before the Six Gun, they had worked together on a few books, and The Damned initially was one of them. And this is the essentially second story arc to story that they'd put out 9 years ago, I believe, 8 years ago. But real quick, just Prohibition era, gangsters, demons. Awesome. And the first issue is only a dollar. It's a dollar in print, and it's a dollar in Comixology, I'm pretty sure. So it's well worth checking out. It's called The Damned Ill-Gotten. And it's always good to see another Colin Bunn book. But the last book I want to talk about, and maybe you'll have a few to talk about afterwards, but All New Guardians of the Galaxy, number one, by Jerry Duggan and Aaron Cooter. And this book, it definitely feels like the movie. It's more in tone with the movie than I thought. Bendis's run was pretty in tone, pretty in touch tonally with the movie, but I feel like this dials into it even more. And I know it pisses a lot of comic fans off, but I thought it was fine. Like, you have Baby Groot in the story, you know, Baby Groot in the movies as well. Essentially, long story short, which I don't know if I can't make it, but make it short. But we're on this planet. We see Galactus show up. A bunch of the citizens or inhabitants of the planet start freaking out, and they're like, "Wait, I thought, you know, Galactus had been sated, his appetite and everything." And turns out that that Rocket just sort of, I don't know if he hijacked, like, or made a ship out of what appears to be Galactus, but it's really the Guardians just coming onto the home world, and it turns into a heist book. It's really funny. They go back and they, whatever it was that they had stolen, they bring to the Grandmaster. Grandmaster turns out, it's like, "Hey, guess what? You're going to steal more stuff for me." And the Guardians are, "No, we don't want to do that. Let's just give us our money and we'll be on our way." Grandmaster is not down with that. And he wants them to steal from the Collector. And they're not happy about this. And it also turns out that Gamora and Drax are... Drax is a pacifist now. Drax will not destroy
anymore. Draxifist.
Draxifist. And Gamora is being shady and hiding stuff from the rest of the team. And Rocket... Also, one more thing. Groot, Baby Groot. Normally, he can regenerate and grow pretty quickly. But it sounds like Rocket thinks someone's sucking... robbing Groot of his strength, is how he puts it. And then we cut to a scene where some dude in a hood is planting little baby Groots on a planet. So that's the reason Groot's not growing. But yeah, no. Artwork's beautiful. Aaron Cooter, who I don't like him on some books. Like, he's worked on, he did IVX, I think it was, in Humans vs. X-Men. It's either that book or Death of X, one of those. And I didn't really care for his art on those books. But I know he's worked with Greg Pak on Action Comics. His artwork was cool on that from what I've seen. But I like his artwork a lot here. It works for the Guardians of the Galaxy. Awesome book.
Neat.
Yes. Those are the books that I wanted to talk about. I don't know. Do you have anything else you want to talk about? Or
I like that Bendis fellow.
He's a good one. He's a good fellow.
Pretty good. Because I'm noticing like a pattern with these books, like the other Guardians of the Galaxy. I read like 17 years behind because I have Marvel Unlimited. So I was reading like Guardians of the Galaxy and Civil War 2 and this Miles Morales Spider-Man Ultimate Comics, which is, that was a different universe.
That was. The Ultimate Universe was around for 15 years. Bendis was the one who actually started the Ultimate Comics universe in 2000. Him and Mark Bagley, I think, started Spider-Man. And what it was a retelling of, it was sort of like an updated retelling of Spider-Man's story. Sort of like modernizing. But it was, they set it on a different universe so they could tell stories. And then they sort of, after, you know, 8, 10, 12 issues, whatever, they started branching off and giving him a different history. And they had actually killed off Peter Parker in that universe.
Yeah, so that... So what is this? I guess the... It's not called the Avengers anymore. It's the Ultimates?
The Ultimates, yeah.
So the Avengers does not exist in this.
Yeah, the Ultimates are the Ultimate Universe equivalent of the Avengers. So there's some cool shit that happens in the Ultimate Universe. There's some really bad stuff. Like, the X-Men books aren't that good. The Spider-Man books, I've read... I haven't read the entire run all the way through. I read all of the Miles Morales stuff.
That's what I'm reading.
Yeah, and that was incredible. And I read a lot of the Peter Parker stuff. And what I've read, I've loved every bit of it. I don't really care for... Oh, sorry, what were you saying?
Did you read the Galactus stuff with The Last Stand or whatever
it was called? No, I didn't. The Joshua Fialkov stuff?
I don't know, because I just remember there was, like, Galactus comes, and he destroys New Jersey. There's one point where it's like there's a plane in New York, and it's like, I guess it's going to land in Newark Airport, and they're like, we can't land. There's no New Jersey anymore. There's no insane. Newark anymore.
No, I didn't read that. Let me back up, because they said the X-Men stuff's not good. The original X-Men run's not good. Nick Spencer took over, and that stuff was pretty good. Because then they did a Divided We Stand, United We Fall event, I think, and it was between X-Men, Spider-Man, and I guess the Ultimates, and Captain America had become president of the United States in the Ultimate Universe. And they call Mr. President, Captain America, or Mr. President Steve Rogers, Captain America, I think was like his official title or something. It was something ridiculous, but that was a good crossover. You should check that out.
Yeah, I just zipped through. There was like 28 issues or something with the Spider-Man itself.
Yep, yeah. Dude, Miles Morales and Genki, man, I need to see that. That duo on screen.
I thought the Asian guy in the trailers was Genki, but apparently he's like Ned something or other.
Okay. I wonder if they're going to write him to be like Genki.
Because that's what it really seemed like, that, judging from the trailers.
Did you read issue 200? Ultimate Comics Spider-Man issue 200? It's part of the Miles Morales run, but...
Well, this was 2011 through 13.
Yeah, I think...
And it was still, like, numbered, like, 1 through 28 or whatever. Well,
that's because they renumbered. They renumbered... They did, like, 1 through 156, I think, of the Peter Parker run. Then they might have renumbered. And then they renumbered again. They definitely renumbered again with Miles Morales. And I think they renumbered once more with him. But in between that time, they had come upon issue number... What would have been issue number 200... because they were still count, you know, even though it wasn't the same run. Definitely check that out, because that's still part of the Miles Morales run. I forget where exactly that falls within the continuity of the story, but it's a great issue, reflecting on Peter Parker's life, and you kind of see Miles and how he deals with being Spider-Man in the shadow of Peter Parker and stuff. I'm glad you read that run. That run is so good.
Now, is he in the normal universe now, Miles?
Now he is. And now both him and Peter Parker are Spider-Man. They're both... They're not calling, you know, Spider-Man Miles Morales or Spider-Man Peter Parker or anything like that. They're both being referred to as Spider-Man, so...
Yeah, I noticed there's a book called Spider-Men.
Spider-Men. Yes, that crossover is awesome. That's one of my favorite miniseries or events or anything that Bendis has done. Did you read that yet?
No, not yet. Because I was just reading this one because I was enthralled with it. So I was just trying to read it in order and...
Definitely. Dude, read Spider-Man. It's a great crossover. And there's a thread that... There's like a little... cliffhanger of sorts that never gets touched upon again in either comic, in Miles Morales or in the 616 Peter Parker book, and it was driving fans nuts. It was driving me nuts because I was curious, and I don't want to spoil what it is, but
I'm gonna guess though.
Well, hang on one second. You can guess in 1 minute, but okay. The thread. But okay, so there's gonna be a Spider-Man 2 that comes out. It's either this year or maybe early next year. I forget when it's coming out.
That's
it's
MEN?
MEN, Spider-Men. And it's Spider-Man 2. So It's the sequel to the first miniseries, and apparently that thread will get tied up in the sequel, and I'm excited about it. Yeah. What do you think the thread is?
Spider-Man Miles Morales is really an agent of Hydra.
Do you want me to tell you yes or no? Fuck it, everyone's Hydra, right? Steve Rogers is Hydra, everyone's Hydra. Yes, obviously, he's Hydra.
Yes, I knew it.
Cat's out the bag. Everyone's Hydra. I didn't know if I should put some of the Free Comic Book Day stuff into books, or just talk about Free Comic Book Day as a whole.
Why not both?
But, yeah, so let me quick rundown. Free Comic Book Day was yesterday, as of the day we're recording this, so it'll probably be, I don't know,
a week. It'll be next year's Free Comic Book
Day. Yeah, so if you're reading this, I'm sure Free Comic Book Day 2018 is coming up, actually. But, no, yesterday was, excuse me, my voice cracked. Yesterday was a lot of fun, Free Comic Book Day, and I went to my shop, G-Mart, in Chicago, and got there pretty early, waited outside for some time.
You camped out, right? You were there since Thursday night?
There are people tent. It's funny, because there are people that bring chairs to sit down, like the beach chairs or lawn chairs or whatever. And
they're called obese people, right?
No, they're smart, actually. They're the smart ones, because I had to sit on the ground. I'm, like, reading. I ended up bringing a couple trades and my iPad with me. So I'm sitting on the ground reading, and by the time I stood up, I was in so much pain. I was like, oh my god, why did I do this? My butt hurts so much. But they're...
That's what she said.
They're thinking ahead. But it's the same people every year, I noticed, too. And you think I'd learn by now, after, what, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16. This is my sixth.
Oh, wow.
Free Comic Book Day.
How long have they been doing this?
2010? Or 2000? How long have they been doing this? 2009, 8, 9, 10, somewhere around there.
But, so it's fairly new.
Yeah. And for listeners, if you are not aware of Free Comic Book Day, it's designed to bring people in to the comic shops. Each publisher, well, not each publisher, but a lot of publishers, most publishers, offer up a free comic, sometimes two of them, Marvel and DC. IDW, I think, does two. For the most part, they're pretty much it, the ones that do two. Mostly everyone else offers one free comic. Most of the time, it's a new story. DC doesn't like doing that, and they like... they like reissuing an old story last year. Like, this year, they did two books, and one of them is Wonder Woman Year One, Part One, which Greg Rucka and Nicholas Scott, you know, wrote last year. And the other one was DC Superhero Girls, and it's like the first chapter from the original graphic novel. So they don't do any original material for Free Comic Book Day.
Didn't Marvel have, like, Secret Empire or something?
Yes, Marvel had Secret Empire, and I'm going to get to that in a second, because I want to fucking talk about that. So...
Hail Hydra.
Yeah, but, like, last year DC did the same thing with Supergirls, and then they also put out... they reissued Suicide Squad number one. And then a couple years ago, they reissued one of the... Like, it was the year Man of Steel came out, and... It was one of the Geoff Johns storylines, Last Son of Krypton, I think. So DC very rarely, and two years ago, when they were doing that DC YOU initiative, it was right around that time, but they focused on Batman, Superman, and Wonder Woman, and they just did like previews of the upcoming books. So like they, I don't know why they're so lazy about it. I kind of wish they would do more original material, but like some of the other publishers. But I mean, Archie reissued a book this year, and it was cool. But it's smart to get people back into that. I understand you have a Wonder Woman story coming up and everything, but
they just don't want to give any. They really just don't want to give you anything free, really.
Kind of. I feel like that's it. But
as opposed to giving you like Batman 23 or 22 or whatever, it's
Oh,
we'll give you a free Batman comic from 2016.
But yeah, a lot of publishers issue new stories. That being said, yes, it's Free Comic Book Day, and I put a little disclaimer up on our Instagram and Facebook page, because I don't think a lot of people actually understand this, because
they think they could just walk in the store and steal things.
Well, like,
that's what I originally thought.
It's Free Comic Book Day, and yeah, I had to bail you out. But so they're designated books that, you know, they come up with every year for Free Comic Book Day, and so those books are free, but the stores actually have to pay for them. So mm-hmm. the past couple of years, what I've been doing, because I pre-order books through my store, I've actually pre-ordered the books, so I pay like 18 cents a book, maybe. So I think I got 15 books for like $4. So technically, my free comic book day wasn't free.
It was pay comic book day.
It was, but then it also ensures me I get the books that I want in case I can't make it out to free comic book day. They also, like, most stores only let you get two or three books or whatever. G-Mart lets you get 5 unless you come in costume. If you're in cosplay, they give you...
So who did you dress up as?
I dressed up as myself. But I did pick up 5 extra books, so just in case. Like, I didn't know if they were going to have my books ready or not.
Did they let you get all of them since you pre-ordered?
I chose the ones that I ordered. So I got 15 books total. And I will... Nice. Actually, I'm going to tell you which ones I got. So, real quick, I got Betty and Veronica. The ones I read first. Betty and Veronica, which was a lot of fun. Guardians of the Galaxy and the Defenders. This was really cool. Nice. Exo Manowar was alright. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, really good. The Tick. Every year I look forward to getting the Tick Free Comic Book Day issue, and it's always so fun. So much fun. I Hate Image. It was the Image Comics one by Scotty Young. He has a book called I Hate Fairyland, and it was the characters from I Hate Fairyland going through and meeting up with different characters from other Image Comics books, and oh my god, it was so good. Wonder Woman Special Edition, which, like I said earlier, it was the beginning part to Wonder Woman Year 1 by Greg Rucka and Nicola Scott. And then we got Marvel's Secret Empire, and it had a Spider-Man, Peter Parker preview in the back. I will get to that in a moment, but just the other books I picked up. World's Greatest Cartoonists, which this came out through Fantagraphics. I have not read it yet, but I just want to bring this up real quick. They have like maybe 32 artists in here. It's quite a bit. And most of these are like 1 or 2 or 3 page stories. They have a Pepe the Frog story in here by Matt Fury, and he ended up killing the frog. He killed him.
But what?
Say he killed Pepe, the creator of Pepe the Frog.
Mm, wow.
He killed him in Free Comic Book Day. Because he was apparently not down with Richard Spencer wearing that pin, so he got pissed off. It's called Pepe's Funeral. And I guess the comic is called Boys Club.
Oh, this is from a comic, this frog?
It's from Boys Club comic. Yeah, that's where it comes from, Pepe the Frog.
I mean, you're what? Just spiting the frog.
Well, I mean, I understand his concern as an artist now, because this is a character he's been working on for a decade. You know, he's working on these comics or whatever. And you have someone, it could be anyone, it doesn't matter who it is, but someone you don't agree with is, like, that caught wind. That caught the media's attention, that the frog was like, their symbol. Like, their, you know, unadopted symbol. Maybe unofficially adopted symbol. And, if you don't agree with what they're doing, like, you gotta feel a bit like you don't have control. So I feel like maybe that's the only way to take control of the situation. But, I thought it was, an interesting move, but I also haven't read the other books, so I'm not quite sure. Either way, I'm pretty sure people are still going to be wearing those pins. But so I also picked up 2000 AD, which usually has Judge Dredd awesomeness in it. Attack on Titan, excuse me. Doctor Who, Buffy, the High School Years, Superhero Girls, and Bongo Free for All, which is the Simpsons comic, and I read half of it so far. And it's so funny, so good. I think you'd enjoy the Bongo comics. But Bongo. Yeah. Now, Free Comic Book Day at G-Mart was great. My friend Paul was tabling there, and I had no idea he was going to be there. I guess it was kind of a last-minute thing, so he was doing sketches and selling his work. He does a couple books online and in print, too, but only, I think, one issue of each is in print. But one's called Robots with Coffee. It's essentially... It's like funny little strips where there might be like 3 panels or like a page of, you know, just gags. And it's essentially robots with coffee at the office. And so it's Transformer-esque, you know, analog. But he also does a comic called Sad Vigilante, which is essentially a mopey Batman. So, so funny.
Mopey Batman.
So incredibly funny. And then he was tabling next to an artist, and I can't remember his name right now. I'm going to pull it up real quick. Because I feel bad. Nick Messier. I forget how to pronounce his last
Mark
name.
Mark Messier.
But he essentially, for a dollar, he's like, "Do you want me to draw you as a cat for a dollar?" And I was, "Yeah." So why not? So he did that.
I was about to ask, but I'm glad you offered.
That was his thing, I guess. He's like, "I will draw you as a cat for $1." Like, it was fun. He did a quick sketch in 2 minutes.
Sounds like Fiverr.
it was awesome. But no, it was great seeing how packed Gmart was. Every year it's always so busy, and I think you get a lot of people coming out that don't normally hit up comic shops. Maybe they read digitally, maybe they don't read at all. But it's cool, and you kind of hope that people also buy something while they're there, because, like I said earlier, the comic stores, they have to pay for these books.
I don't get it. Why can't the comic companies pay for them?
Well, they are paying probably the staff, and they're paying, I think, production costs.
Okay.
You know, they're paying, like, I don't think that's any different. They're putting the money in on their end, too. You think it would be, like, Diamond that would cover it, but the stores have to, because the stores also have to order what they think is okay. We, you know, this is going to be a big book. Let's order 1,000 copies of Secret Empire. Maybe we could only do 500 of, I don't know, 2000 AD. Maybe it doesn't sell in the shop, or, you know, stuff like that. It's really based off of orders too. See how many go to print, I guess, as well. Comic shops normally have to pay, like, I don't know, a couple bucks for... They get a huge break on these books, you know. The cover price isn't the price that they're paying. That's the price that we're paying the comic shop. The comic shops are essentially Diamond's customers, and we're not. So, comic shops, they get their breaks on the $3, $4, $5 comics. But on the free comic book day, they still have to pay probably like a quarter to 30 cents for each comic. So they're not paying full price or anything like that, but they're still putting a lot of money into these books. You do hope that a lot of people at least pick up a book, you know, pick up a book or two, pick up a figure or maybe a trade. They were doing doorbuster prizes, so I was one of the first 50, so I got there early enough to get a doorbuster prize, and I got a Hydra pin, which I don't know why anyone would want a Hydra pin. I come home with it, and I was like, "Oh, this is kind of cool." But Caroline's like, "Why would anyone want that?" I was like, "Exactly. I'm not gonna wear it." But you know, I got a Yellow Lantern ring in the the grab bag. They also gave me a few issues of comics that I've had already, like Doctor Strange and stuff, but a few others that I do not have. Like, I don't. Where are my comics right now? They're no longer in front of me. But like a Spider-Man comic and, Faith and Archer and Armstrong from Valiant. I got those as well. But this was really cool. I got the Marvel Art of Marko Djurjevic book, and it is gorgeous. It's this gorgeous hardcover, and I don't even know what it retails at. I'm guessing at least 40 or 50 bucks, maybe 30, but I'm guessing a little higher. It's just a gorgeous hardcover of a lot of his art. He does a lot of cover work and some interiors and stuff like that. So I don't even know how much in the goodie bag, you know, what the retail value is, but for all for free. So, you know, a lot of shops put that into it too. You know, some of their stock they're willing to give to customers to entice them to show up early and whatnot. But real quickly, I'll wrap up Free Comic Book Day talk with this. If you read digitally, and I know you do, Dave, but like listeners out there, if you read digitally and you're expecting Free Comic Book Day books on Comixology, that's not going to happen right away. Some don't even...
Damn it!
So some might not even be uploaded to Comixology, period. But I know they usually wait a couple days or a week or two, just because, like I said earlier, by design, it's to entice people to walk into a comic shop. You know, to get people to step foot into brick and mortar stores and understand it, and I love it. It's always such a fun event. But so, Secret Empire. Nick Spencer wrote this. Obviously, this is taking his Hydra Cap storyline. It's the big event that the Marvel huge event that they asked everyone to have patience with, which is weird. Why a company would ask fans that are annoyed by an event or a storyline that they don't like to have patience. That doesn't make me feel good. So Andrea Sorrentino was the artist on this, and it looks gorgeous. It's phenomenal. Dude, he could draw the fucking phone book, and I would get the hell out of that. But
he could draw me taking a nap.
Seriously. I would love that. I would read it.
For $1, I will draw you taking a nap.
Just stare at it all day, but just his artwork is so perfect. But so essentially this kind of catches up readers, and who shows up? Spider-Man, Hulk, other Spider-Man, Ms. Marvel, Hercules maybe, who else? Thor, Black Widow, Hawkeye, they all Scarlet Witch, they all kind of show up. There's some major shit going down. They find out that Cap is Hydra, and they're all like, this can't be. And Hydra is essentially like, they take over Scarlet Witch's mind, and she... Oh, Iron Man is there, too. I don't remember if I mentioned him. But Scarlet Witch starts affecting all of the heroes, and turns out that everyone's getting, like, their butts knocked out. Thor, she drops the hammer. So, at this point, the way it happened, too, it's... You could tell in the lettering that she can't tell what's happening, and she can't hold the hammer anymore. So, it appears that she is no longer worthy. And then a couple pages later, you see Cap walking over to the hammer, to Mjolnir. He reaches his hand down, and on the last page, he lifts it. And apparently he is worthy of Mjolnir. Now, if Nick Spencer... I tweeted about this, too. If Nick Spencer wasn't through pissing people off for the past year with turning Captain America into a Hydra agent, he just pissed off a whole new group of people right now.
What is he getting, like, advice from, like, Brian Azzarello?
He must be, because... Dude, lifting Thor's hammer is a very special thing that not many characters have actually done in the comics. I think only three others, besides Thor, have done it. And Superman was one of them, I believe, during a crossover.
Well, Vision did it in the Ultron, the movie.
Yes. The movie's different, though. I'm talking about the book specifically. Like, in the... however many years that Thor has been a character, like, it has not happened very often. So for, I'm talking both Odin's son and Jane Foster Thor together. For this to happen, this is insane. Especially you're claiming Captain America is worthy, at least more worthy than Jane Foster, and incredibly more worthy than Odin's son, who hasn't been Thor for a couple years now, and he's a Hydra agent, and he's worthy of holding Mjolnir. This is fucking insane. This is next level. And I don't know, like, part of me is like, I have to read what happens, and the other part of me is like, I can't bring myself to do that.
What does Man Thor do now that he's not worthy? What's he been doing?
He had his own miniseries called The Unworthy Thor, where he's still trying to figure out why he's unworthy.
We're not worthy.
But and I think he still pops up in the Thor series that Jason Aaron's writing. Okay. Because Jane Foster has, you know, a huge history with him. And I don't know, because I'm not caught up on that. I was sort of reading it, and then I dropped off, and then I picked back up and was catching up, and I dropped off. So I kind of, I don't read in trades, but I read in chunks. So I'm not exactly caught up with Thor, or the Mighty Thor, or whatever the hell series it's called now. It's very good, and I liked it a lot, but again, so many books. But, so I'm still unsure that Odin's son even has any idea, any clue who Thor is now, that it's Jane Foster. And which is crazy, too, because this is going to fuck Jane Foster up. Because when she's not Thor, she has cancer, and the cancer is killing her. Mm. And apparently, she's safe when she's Thor. But then when she reverts back to Jane Foster form, the cancer progresses tenfold. And so I don't know if they're going to end up killing her off because of this, too. So it should be interesting to see where that's at.
She should be named Jane Foster.
Foster. That's... But yeah, I mean, because she's on... She does a lot of stuff on Asgard, so she's there, and Odin's son's there as well. So he's still around, hanging out with Beta Ray Bill. Shall we talk... do you want to move into Arrow first, or should I talk Guardians of the Galaxy real quick? You still have not seen it, right?
No, I haven't seen it yet, but you could talk about it.
Want me to talk about it now, then? I'll be quick.
Sure.
Spoiler-free. Overall, this will be quick, and I won't go into specifics. This will actually be super quick, because I really want to talk about this whenever you do see it. Overall, I gave it 2 thumbs up. I had so much fun with it. Saw it in 3D. It's a movie that seems to be designed for 3D, not just a movie that is offered to audiences in 3D. There are a lot of parts that benefit from the 3D. The humor, everything that worked, I will say this, everything that worked about the first Guardians movie, they amplified on this one, and it wasn't obnoxious to me. The humor was turned up. There was more focus on a lot of other characters. There was I don't want to get too specific. There were some characters that you wouldn't think sort of become the, I don't want to say the star, but the breakout of the film.
Hmm.
Like, the focus on them, it gives them such an interesting layer. And this is multiple characters. It's not just one, even. The way they offer up some backstory, some of these characters, it's wonderful. I love the development that they're going through. Kurt Russell was awesome. Completely forgot Sylvester Stallone was in the movie until he showed up on screen, and I was like, oh yeah, that's right. Overall, I thought it was just so much fun. It was great how there were these parallel storylines that converged at the end in a way that was sort of completely obvious, but still very satisfying. And I know I'm talking in generalities, but this is a movie I don't want to give anything away. There are sort of 3 mid to post credit sequences too. There are quite a few, so stick around for those. I don't understand why this movie is getting a lot of hate online. I'm seeing a ton of negative reviews.
Really?
A ton.
I thought it was like certified good on Rotten
Apples. I hope so, because I didn't even check from them, but like a lot of throughout the blogosphere, maybe comic sites or podcasts seem to not be enjoying this. A Chicago media forum that I'm in, like a bunch of those dudes were tearing it apart.
Hmm.
Thought it was completely unfounded. And
it's not dark.
When they mentioned
too many jokes.
Well, this is the thing. The gripes that people may have had, I understand them, but I don't think the movie suffers in any way. And that's the line that I draw. It's okay. Well, does this take away anything? And no, it doesn't at all. The movie doesn't suffer in any way for it. So yes, I highly recommend seeing it. I like it a lot more than the first Guardians, which I think the first Guardians is very important. In the same way that Iron Man is important to the Marvel Universe, because it was the beginning of something new in the MCU. I always come off a high off of these movies right away. I really like everything, and I feel like I should always see it a second time before I even talk about it on the podcast, maybe. I have enough confidence in this movie just from talking about it with some other people who've seen it. The replay value will hold up even better than the first Guardians. And I still watch Guardians from time to time, and I don't think I find it as funny as I did. It's still as engaging and interesting. I feel like this one could hold up more. It's in the beginning, it's like an assault on your senses with the amount of jokes that they tell.
Hmm.
And I could see how that might grate on people, but I thought it was perfect.
It seems to be making money, judging from the articles.
Excellent.
I see it's like, oh, it made this much, and they keep on saying stuff in a good way, so.
Awesome. I haven't checked up on any of that, on, you know, the progress financially or...
Me neither.
Yeah. Do you plan on seeing
Except
it soon?
Except I did, or? Because it's
do you plan on seeing it soon, or are you going to wait a little while?
I don't know. We'll see. Hopefully I can see it soon.
Yeah.
I'd like to see it.
Yeah.
So I could say I saw it already. So True. I could see there are, like, 7 post-credit scenes.
They're, interesting or amusing or, you know, they're good.
I heard that, like, there was some that got cut out, too.
Interesting.
They wanted to have even more post-credit scenes.
There was one that happens almost immediately after the initial credits of the main cast. That happens pretty immediately. And then there's one in the middle, and then there's one towards the end.
Is that where Sylvester Stallone shows up?
No, he's in the main film. He may or may not be around too long or too many times. You might not see him, but he is in the main film.
Does Groot like get older in the movie?
I don't want to say anything regarding that because it's whether it does or does not happen is spoilery.
Hmm.
All I will say is watch one of the post-credit sequences or mid-credit sequence, and you might see something regarding Groot. It was definitely a benefit for this movie, too, because Baby Groot did stuff that maybe normal Groot wouldn't have been able to do. So they definitely wrote it as an advantage.
Now, who is the villain in this movie?
Could be spoilery, because there are two, sort of, where the two plot lines kind of merge into one. I'll just say there are multiple villains. It's not just one big bad necessarily.
Interesting.
Like it is, but it's
yeah. Because I was gonna say I can't tell from the trailers or anything.
I had no idea what it was gonna be. To be honest with you, from the trailers either. Like I didn't even think about that who the big bad is. And then I will say throughout the movie, it all starts to become clear even when it's not quite there yet.
Hmm.
And one you sort of find out in the beginning that, okay, this is a problem that's not exactly going away. And then the other sort of throughout the movie, a lot of hints maybe sprinkled and you see it begin to unravel.
Because I know, like, Thanos, they're saving that for, like, that Infinity War.
Yeah, I will say that he is mentioned in this.
Oh, okay.
He is mentioned because, I mean, when you have the daughter or possibly daughters of Thanos, you're going to have talk of him.
Yeah, because it's Gamora and Nebula, right?
Yes. Okay, so I forgot Nebula was in the movie. There's an incredibly... This is as spoilery as I'll get with this. There's a lot of Nebula-Gamora relationship building and confronting. There's a lot going on between those two that I think needed to happen. And that was one of my favorite parts in the movie, was the way they dealt with those two characters. But overall, yeah, I say just go see it. I know I'm being completely vague, but I really want to talk around spoilers. I hope it's at least descriptive enough to pique someone's interest.
Yeah, sometimes it's like I try to see it with other people so I don't feel like a loser. But then it's like, if I want to see it, I'll just go by myself. I don't care.
Dude, I'm going to tell you, like, I mean, granted, Caroline usually comes with me to most movies I want to see most, mm-hmm. but, like, X-Men Apocalypse I saw by myself. I think that might have been the last movie I saw solo. I love going to the theater by myself. I don't know why. I love going with other people. It's not like I hate going with anyone else. Like, I love the company, too. Mm-hmm. But that's one of those activities that I don't mind doing by myself.
Oh, I hate company, but I just don't want to look like a loser going myself. That's it. I'm all about appearances. There's nothing legitimate about me.
It's the facade.
Yes, of course. But I don't know. I think the last one I saw was like Live by Night. I saw that by myself.
Okay. I still haven't seen that. It's probably out on video now, isn't it?
It wasn't bad. It wasn't like... They're trying to make it like it was awful, but...
I will watch it eventually.
I actually hear that The Accountant is really good, but I have not seen that.
No, I have not seen that either.
I think Doctor Strange is on, like, Netflix at the end of the month.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. But you got it on the blue DVD, right?
I do have it on the blue disc. on the Azure. Shall we talk Arrow?
Yes, let's talk about it.
They didn't do the one thing that I wanted them to do this episode. Felicity is still alive.
Yeah, I know, it's disappointing.
And I don't know why.
And she's walking by the end of the episode.
Yep. So, quick rundown. Ali and Felicity are trapped in the
closet.
And then
R. Kelly made my gun.
R. Kelly actually dedicated an album to them. But they are trapped in the little bunker, Arrow cave, quiver, whatever the fuck their headquarters is called. They're trapped down there because what's his name? Prometheus set them up. And it's really just a character building sort of issue. It's like an issue to kind of iron out a lot of the issues between those two characters throughout the season. More specifically, like in the past couple episodes, I guess. But I guess even since last season. But they kept doing flashbacks to 11 months ago with the two of them. I was getting so annoyed by that.
Yeah,
so I was like, I don't want to see this. I don't want to see this anymore. We had that, and I get what they were doing because they had to make it parallel to the storyline that was happening. My favorite scene was probably when Felicity is like, "But you won't even listen to me," and then so Ali's like, "All right, fine, we'll do it your way," and then she fucks up, and then exposes this like methane pipe, so that methane's leaking out in the already short supply of oxygen that they have. This could be why he doesn't listen to you.
Yeah, because you're a moron.
What'd you think of the episode?
I didn't like it. I was like, why this whole, like, Chinese food subplot with the salmon ladder, and then she's banging him again?
I knew that was going to happen. The whole time they're talking, I was like, they're going to hook up by the end of this episode, and there's going to be some sort of, or like in the middle of the episode, you know, in the flashback, and it's going to be like this will-they-won't-they kind of thing in the past, and it's going to mimic what's happening now. I knew that was going to happen.
I thought that was stupid. And just let it die.
Yeah.
They didn't have chemistry. I never thought they had chemistry. Felicity should fall off a chemistry.
I think I like the idea. Well, no. I won't even say I like the idea of them together before they were together. Because I never thought about them together.
I never thought they matched.
No, they weren't. And you never got the feeling that either one cared for each other. They never wrote the characters that way.
It was just, like, forced upon or something.
Kind of lazy.
So they're trapped the whole episode, and then at the very end, you've got Adrian Chase, and it's like, wasn't your name William? Or something. It's like, don't they teach this kid anything?
And he's like, you know my parents? It's like, kid, you're dead.
That's the one, even if a serial killer isn't after you, that's the one thing they tell you when you're a child. They're like, if any adult comes up to you, just get the hell out of there. Don't give them any information.
I know.
This is why I don't tell anybody any information to this very day.
Especially a creepy dude.
Yes.
It's like this.
Yes.
If someone talks like this, you know not to give them any information.
Yeah, with a perpetual smirk on their face.
I can't, you know, maybe him and Felicity kill each other.
Yeah.
At the same time.
If there's any god, that will happen.
But there's not, so it won't.
I guess I set you up for that one.
We're stuck with both of them forever. But yeah. It was an episode full of choices that left me confused as to why they made them, period. I was hoping that this wasn't going to take a full episode to rescue them. I thought it was going to be like half an episode and then they were going to get their, get everything going with the research and be like, all right, we know where he's at. Instead, it took like an entire episode for the team to figure out how to rescue Oliver and Felicity. And then the last minute, Ollie's like, I know where he's at.
Yeah. I just feel like they're not smart too, because he was able to like trap them in there.
Yeah.
So I just feel like that they're not very prepared.
They built this fortress to keep everyone out, but they built it so well that it trapped them in as well. Like, they should have had contingency plans for this kind of stuff.
But what I don't get is, like, in past seasons, it's like Merlin and Nyssa, it was like everybody just popped up in the cave. And I think even this year, like, imposter Laurel showed up.
Yep.
Right? She's just, like, looking at the costumes. Like, it's like, that's another plot hole, because it's like, it's such highly secure, but meanwhile, anybody could, you could just walk up there and I'd guarantee you'd get in.
Dude, everyone knows where the fucking headquarters is. You'd think that they would have relocated by now.
Yeah, I can't even, I can't tell, because wasn't, like, Diggle at one point, he was in the holding area, that was, like, their original location. It's confusing. They don't really explain it too well.
So it's no longer under the club, correct?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't even know if they even really explained it. They're like, let's just Guggenheim everything.
Where is he under? Under the mayor's office now, maybe? I wasn't a fan of this episode.
Yeah, I'm kind of losing interest, but here we are.
I'm not losing interest yet. I'm getting frustrated, but by all means, I should be losing interest, because they don't end seasons properly. I think they've ended one season where I've been content with how it's ended. It might have been like season two. So
it's like 10 years ago.
I'm glad that with the last episode, not this past one, but the one last week, that they got the hackers out of the way. Cause that was kind of frustrating me. Now they just need to work on getting rid of Adrian Chase and Felicity. Maybe Felicity quits after this. I don't even want to see her gone necessarily. I just don't want to see her with the team anymore. Because she could be around, and she could have been with that hacker group and just not working with the team anymore. I would have been fine with her being on the show, because then it's not her being annoying within the team dynamic. If they're not going to kill her off, they need to... Although, if they kill her off, what's the matter? She'll be back anyway. So, they just need to... they need to remove her from this team somehow.
I think they were saying in the finale that a lot of them are going to be dead or something.
They can't kill off Wild Dog. They're building his character up too much. Curtis, they can't kill, because they already had him go through, like, a separation, possible divorce. Like, you can't... Like, you're beating the shit out of that character up enough.
He's kind of worthless, though, to the team.
I don't know. He's the smart one that got the ball rolling with the rescue. With his T's, with his little T-spheres. I mean, granted, that was an Argus thing, because they, like, improved upon his design. But, like, as far as physical combat, like, he can't be out in the field with them anymore. He's, like, more of a liability than he is, you know, reassurance. Or who would they kill off?
I would think that they're going to kill off Merlin. Because they said that he's not going to be next year there anymore. So it's probably going to be him.
Merlin? But he hasn't been around.
Yeah, but they're saying that he's not going to be on next year.
But wasn't he around in
He was on the Legends, I think.
Yeah, so maybe that's where they wrote his character off then, I don't know.
They could kill off like Nyssa or Talia, or they bring her back Deathstroke, so maybe they might just be people that they're bringing back. Also, Boomerang is coming back. Unfortunately, not the Suicide Squad Boomerang, who's drinking beer and has a unicorn.
Who quits the team and then is involved in the team the next scene inexplicably.
Just give me some Netflix Marvel shows.
Seriously, only a few more months.
Yeah, they got all these teasers and stuff. They had a teaser this week, and then they had the first trailer.
I will say, I actually haven't seen the trailer for Defenders yet. I meant to watch it, and I haven't. Am I doing myself a disservice by not watching the trailer?
They're kind of just like, they want to fight each other in the beginning. At least
that makes sense to me, yeah. Well, I'm sure Jessica Jones and Luke Cage want to fight each other.
Well, they got to get back together now. You got to kick Claire out of there. It seems like in the trailer that Claire is the one that brings them all together.
She has to be. She's the only one with the connect. Well, she's not the only one, but she's one of the only ones that has essentially a connection to everyone involved somehow.
I've heard complaints like on Iron Fist, like, oh, she was forced into. I was like, shut up. She was that through line. It's good that they had her on all the shows and stuff.
Yeah, and what's her name? Jerry.
Oh yeah. Jaren Hogarth.
Yeah, she was there for
J Money
was there for a couple seasons.
But she's gonna. Yeah, she was in the Daredevil 2 with Foggy. Yeah,
season 2. Yep. Yep. So she's like, got
I'm
going to
give you $1 trillion.
I feel like there's still going to be too much going on for them to have only 8 episodes of Defenders.
Yeah, that was surprising to me that it's only 8 episodes. Elektra's coming back because they had a teaser with just her in the tomb or whatever. Sticks in the trailer.
I think everyone is going to be in there, essentially.
By the way, I want to say Chun-Li, but...
Aline Wang?
Yeah, that's it. Oh, Misty Lee is in, or Misty is that Knight. Her name?
Misty Knight.
Misty Knight. Misty Knight's in the trailer. She's, like, interrogating Jessica Jones. Huh. It would just be cool to see them all together.
Yeah, definitely. I'm very much looking forward to that. Punisher in a couple months as well. We also have Inhumans in a couple months.
Yeah, did you see that?
Did not watch the teaser because I saw the image and I was checked out after that. That single image made me lose like any excitement I had for that.
You're like, goofy looking, yuck.
I know that's like terrible because, you know, it's like you might see these characters in action or the suits, their, you know, their costumes in action, but they all looked like, I don't know.
Cartoon characters?
Not even. That's a compliment to what they looked like.
Hobo derelicts?
They really did look like... Wait. Black Bolt and Medusa are supposed to be royalty. Neither of them looked royal in any way whatsoever.
Yeah, he didn't have the tuning fork on his head.
No, he needs the fucking tuning fork. Or the mask or anything. I would have never been able to tell you it was Black Bolt had it not been, you know, an advertised Inhumans picture. Medusa, I don't like the way her character design is in this, like her costume. I don't like the hair at all. I don't know if they're going to have the budget to do any, like, CG stuff with her hair, but that's a very important part of her character, and it just looks kind of weird. The picture I saw is underwhelming. I don't know. Did you watch the teaser?
All it was them talking, so you didn't see any footage.
That's... Why even release that?
Probably because they knew how you felt about the image, and you're like... They felt self...
Self-aware.
Yeah, they got self-conscious. Yeah, I don't know. Just like talking about how they're going to overthrow somebody or something, and something about royalty and a bunch of nonsense.
I don't understand.
No one does. But it's going to be, it said that it's like September 1st, it's going to be an IMAX, and then I wonder if like they're going to air the stuff that was on IMAX and format it for television and just rerun it eventually.
Probably, because I'm guessing, what if people can't afford to go see it in IMAX or don't have the time or anything, you know what I'm saying? Like, they're going to have to see those episodes eventually.
Also, they keep on having new Wonder Woman trailers. There's like a million different TV spots now. Now they're saying on the MTV, We Don't Play Music and Movie Awards, they're going to have another trailer. So it's like, how many trailers do they got to have?
They don't need that many. I'm still super excited for that. I cannot wait for that movie.
And then they had the Runaways thing. Did you see that?
No, I didn't see that.
Yeah, somebody had, like, the leaked trailer from one of those Comic-Cons or whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, so it's just, like, you can't see it that well. It's like somebody taped it on the conference. So I saw it, and then they had the image, which looks like the comic, so... It should be good, I think.
Wonder Woman, you're saying? I think so.
Yeah, well, the Runaways I was talking about.
Oh, too. Runaways, sorry. The Runaways, I'm very much looking forward to. What was the update? What was the last one? New Warriors. That's for next year, right?
Yeah, that sounds right.
Was there any other news, really?
Nah, not really. That was about it for this week.
Seemed like kind of a slow week.
Yeah, I guess so. Nothing really in the news world. There's rumors, but nothing concrete, so it's like, why even report?
Exactly. Because they have nothing else to report, that's why.
Yeah, it's just more like 15 reasons that Wonder Woman is the best character with the words, with the initials W in her name, you know, more Screen Rant and comic book resources and, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, I guess the big to-do was that the Guardians of the Galaxy 2 was out.
I love that the Marvel movies always come out, and like, I never even really thought about this, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But they always come out, I think, the same week every year as Free Comic Book Day.
Coincidence?
I think not. That's smart. If only they actually, I don't know, promoted their fucking books in the movies. At least DC does that. DC drives me nuts with their movies, but at least they'll put an advertisement in. Although Marvel sometimes gives away digital comics with the purchase of the tickets. I remember when I got the tickets for Civil War, they did that, but I owned every comic that they were giving out. So I threw the codes up online.
They didn't give me nothing. I just remember that I feel like it was like the first time that there was no movie previews because it was like the weekend.
Yeah.
And there was like no trailers at all for anything else. Because maybe they were just like trying to do as many as they could.
Yeah, yeah.
So they didn't show any trailers. I was like, this is the best thing ever.
Shall we wrap it up?
Yeah, we can wrap.
Well, yeah, that I suppose does it for this episode of Comics Reviews. Thank you to everyone for tuning in. We do appreciate it. If you're listening on iTunes, please rate and review if you would not mind. If not, that's cool too. I get it.
Yeah. We know you're so busy.
You just don't have time. Could, that would be cool too. Very cool. But yeah, if you're listening to us any other way, you know, Stitcher or Podomatic or whatever, tune in. We do appreciate that, and thank you very much. And if you haven't yet, please give us a little like-see on Facebook at Comics Reviews, Instagram and Twitter as well, like Comics Reviews. Come follow us there. You can find me on Instagram at Call This Rational, and on Twitter at Penonato Rob. So yes, Twitter, well, even Instagram, I guess. A lot of wrestling talk, some comics talk. Food, dog stuff, maybe cat. So yeah, I don't know if you're interested. Follow me, Dave. Where could you be found on the interwebs?
Unpronounceable symbol. That's on Instagram.
I love that's your name now.
I think I want to change my Twitter name to the artist formerly known as Unpronounceable Symbol.
Might be a little too long.
Yeah, it's not enough letters. Or too many.
I would
letters.
Take up the full 140 characters just tweeting your name.
Yeah, so that's what I do.
Yeah. You could also check our website, comicsreviews.com. I don't want to announce anything in case it doesn't happen, but I have something in the works, a little op-ed piece I want to throw up there. Soon. I just gotta find time to fine-tune it, I suppose. Why not? I've tossed around the ideas to you in the past, but I don't think I've talked to you recently about it. But
yeah, I don't remember.
I will. Well, I'll let you know.
Okay.
I don't want to announce I'm writing something and then it just doesn't happen. So, even though I announced that I could possibly be writing something and then
if you do that, you could work for DC Comics. Because they always do that. They announce something and then they're like, it's too much for me.
Or they announce Batman Europa and just put it out 9 years later. So,
oh, that, yeah.
Yeah.
I haven't read that one.
I haven't either, because I don't care. So, I hear it's alright, but I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe one day. But, yeah. So, thank you once again, and until next time, I suppose I am Rob.
Yeah, you know, that's true.
It is. I suppose you were Dave.
Yeah, it's possible.
Sometimes, at least.
Told you to get my Tuesday prostitute.
even though it's Wednesday.
Get some pizza.